Good day and welcome to the official podcast of Pursuit Athletic Performance.
Hey everybody, welcome to this new episode of the Pursuit Athletic Performance podcast. I'm your host today, Coach Al Lyman, as always. Today I'm not joined by my partner, Dr. Kurt Strecker, as I might normally be, but we've got a really cool and interesting guest on the podcast today. I want to welcome Troy Anderson of Anderson Training Systems to our podcast. Troy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Right. Thanks for having me on, Al. This is going to be real fun to share some of my thoughts, at least, hopefully, and hopefully big benefits for anybody in you guys' endurance crew that is looking for something that might help them a little bit.
Yeah, awesome. And it's great to have you on the podcast today. For our listeners' benefit, just a little bit of background. I learned about the work that Troy's doing, not only on his various websites, which we'll talk about as we go, but also in his studio out in Tempe, Arizona. I learned about the work you're doing, Troy, basically through this sort of common theme that we have, which is kettlebell training and the hard style school, that Dragon Door school, which really originated with Pavel. And, you know, I'm reading a lot of the blog posts, myself being in HKC and you obviously being in RKC. And that's interesting. You had a blog post pretty recently, I think, as well.
Yeah, we got a chance to kind of, we're talking about this before we jumped on to crack into the little bit different methodology, if you will, that I do with the kettlebell. That's a little bit still within principle, but a little bit different than what you're seeing from most RKCs. And we got a chance to share that last Friday, so maybe we can talk about that and maybe some relevance to some folks that might benefit from that. But, yeah, we just got put through on Friday, so it was real nice.
Yeah, that's actually it's a really interesting post, and I'm going to make sure to – this is a good reminder for me. I'll include the link to that post in the blog post I do for this podcast. I put all of this together. But that's basically – how I got to know about you, and I started to read a little bit more about your philosophy, some of the athletes that you work with, and I found some really interesting and similar themes to some of our philosophies with Pursuit Athletic Performance, and I just love the passion with which you go about doing your work. I mean, that was really evident in everything that I've seen. What I would love today in our podcast is just for you to share some of your insights. You know, as you could probably guess, I'm a big fan of the kettlebell as a training tool. There's a lot of ways to skin the cat, right? I mean, in terms of getting stronger, optimizing a body comp, you know, but I think the bell's a pretty doggone good tool. But more than that, I mean, you work with a lot of different kinds of athletes. Many of them are trying to lose body fat and get leaner, but be healthier and stronger as well, too. So Give our audience, if you would, first, Troy, just a little bit about your background. How did you reach this point at this stage in your life to be doing what you're doing now? And then we'll take it from there.
There's a long story. We'll shorten it up quite a bit for you guys. But basically, like I tell my daughter and my wife, slow, weak, fat, ugly, and dumb. That's kind of how I got here. And that means basically on athletic side, like I've had to work for everything that I got and get lucky along the way. And so a little bit of background, if you kind of can infer into this, I'm from a farm environment growing up in my life. So strength training in its formal terms that we know it now wasn't part of what I did, and I was able to leverage that work type, if you will, into a college scholarship eventually, where I actually ended up having to learn how to lift in kind of a really small university. And we didn't have much of a program. This is in the early to mid-90s, and we didn't have much of any kind of instruction, so I kind of was forced to stumble my way into this. And that was real classical stuff there, squats and deads, and I don't know if we did much Olympic lifting. We did some bench pressing, of course. Because I was a football athlete. And then I spun out of that into the military, and kind of went down the bodybuilding path. And then just because that's what was kind of available, and that's where I got into to training as a way to make money, or profession, if you will. I wouldn't quite call myself a professional back then. Then into the early NASM stuff. And then basically what the kettlebell is basically back to my origins. And then the ultimate sandbag stuff that you kind of mentioned before too. Those are basically origin tools for me. And they speak to me and they cover a lot of bases. A lot of people don't quite believe that yet. But I was just listening to a piece with Pavel, which you mentioned earlier, who's basically the guy that reintroduced kettlebells to the U.S. in the early 2000s, late 90s. And somebody asked him a question, what's your 80-20? And, you know, for strength and performance and things like that. And he's like, kettlebells used well. And I like to throw in the sandbag side in there, too. And I think they complement each other a lot. But basically, the way I've started to look at that, my thought process and philosophy is that there's a bell curve, right? Not all of us are A students. That's not a problem. But in that 80-20 model, I'll take a B student any day of the week. We can do a lot of good stuff with them. So that's kind of the short timeline of how I got to where I am today. I was introduced to the kettlebell originally. I was actually anti-kettlebell early on, to be quite honest, to be real honest about it, by Josh Hankin, and my wife was actually the first one in our household to purchase kettlebells. I was kind of the guy that said you could do everything with dumbbells. I've subsequently had to live that down for like the last decade, but there we are.
You know, it's interesting. For many of our listeners out there, I think the great majority probably don't train consistently with the kettlebell. It's interesting, mm-hmm. even for me in this day and age, I think of it as a central tool to what I do and what the folks that I work with do. But it's still a little bit on the fringe out there, you know, other than the CrossFit box where folks are grabbing it and throwing it around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe certainly not in most instances with the same kind of intent as exists in the hard style school.
Mm-hmm.
That Pavel really, of course, brought to the masses here, I think, is, at least in a larger context. But what, for me, the bell is a great tool for integrated strength, which is such a central mm-hmm. philosophy of what we do, right? So not
yeah.
about training body parts, but about training movements. And, of course, it goes without saying the words that our audience hears us talk a lot about, mobility and stability and
mm-hmm.
appropriate flexibility and balance in the body. And these are things you need to possess in order to do a Turkish get-up, especially with a decent amount of load, right? Or even simply holding a shoe on the top of your wrist,
mm-hmm.
as you know well. So is that one aspect, and obviously you're coming from a powerlifting, football-oriented,
yep.
A barbell-based strength
yeah.
training background, it sounds like. But,
yeah.
Is that one element to the bell that you feel like is really, really beneficial and powerful?
Yeah, you bring up a couple really great points. One, I have not touched a barbell in myself, will be going on 8 years. So, I on my strongest day lifting wise was also my last day lifting wise in regards to just pushing for numbers. I kind of pushed a disc through the end of a vertebrae in a strongman contest, and I could never get back to the bar after that. And so that's when the kind of pursuit on this side of stuff and has really started to take shape for me. So that's a real real telling piece there.
Boy, that's for sure.
And then the other piece is that to go ahead and to pursue these things, I just put out a piece earlier this year. I'm a big notion that like 100 pounds in your hand, whether it's a kettlebell or the ultimate sandbag, like there's not many people picking up 100 pounds in one hand. And I think those cover more than enough bases unless you're a real pure strength athlete. Like if your job is to get on the platform and put up you know, big numbers, I think that the tools that we're talking about here today, specific to the kettlebell, are really, really going to cover the basics for most, especially when we're going to apply them in an overall concept. I have a thing, like you mentioned there, with all these other aspects of progressive overload, basically is what we're talking about, that we can look at as opposed to just the load part of progressive overload. I've been mentoring a young gal on the kettlebell side of things on a weekly basis, and it's taught me just as much, I hope, as it's taught her. But if people would just take down on a piece of paper, if they have one in front of them, and write an A, a D, an I, and then an S, just write them vertically, and then another S, and then another S, and then a C. This is basically my general philosophy on how I approach this almost everything. A stands for accessibility. If a client or an athlete can't do it in the moment, we'll work towards it potentially. But if they can't do it, like, we shouldn't be putting them in bad positions. D stands for diversity. Most people, I know your endurance types are real, usually grinder types. They can hang on to something, do something over and over again. Most people can't. So we need to have a little bit of same but different. So it's nice to have some synergistic tools. To me, the I stands for integrity. Can we move? Can we function? Can we hold positions with integrity? The first S stands for stability. The second S stands for strength. The third S stands for speed. And that C stands for complexity. And so that's the basic model that I look at most of my stuff with.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Troy. I mean, that certainly says a lot. You know, when you look out at the fitness world, mm-hmm. in sort of a general sense right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners are still kind of looking for their path. You know, which direction should they go?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's all of the calisthenics, body weight oriented mm-hmm. stuff now. There's the bell. There's traditional mm-hmm. strength training. Obviously, there's you know, I mentioned CrossFit earlier. But for you as a trainer right now, where do you think most folks get off? In terms of the direction they're heading, where they tend maybe not to go in the direction that they should ultimately. What do you think is one of those sort of red flags?
There's just so much stuff. And there's quite a bit of good stuff. Like, everybody wants to bash the internet. We can connect more with each other on at least some superficial level. There's so much content and information. You can interact with world-class people. I just did a piece last week with Kelly Starrett from Mobility Wog, CrossFit, if you know about him. Guy is top-notch. And so I think they kind of get that, and they just kind of forget what the goal is. I'll give you a great example. My cousin, he's a strength conditioning coach at high school, and he called me about he texted me about what I thought about boxing. I don't really have an opinion about boxing, to be quite honest. This kind of goes to the notion of how things can get lost in context over text messages, too. But he was basically asking about a former athlete of his that was looking to take up boxing. And it was basically kind of a Dan Johnism, keep the goal. Like, what was his goal? Well, his goal wasn't really clear. He was an ex-wrestler. If the goal is to be an MMA participant, boxing is a great idea. He's a high-level wrestler. He's going to add a skill set. His goal wasn't quite that place. It was something along, like, aesthetics and body composition, and I'm not sure boxing is the right role there. Not to say that boxing can't get you there, but if the primary goal is aesthetics, there's probably better ways to go about it. And I think there's people just are bouncing around because there's so many options out there. They are finding, and it's basically the development of a philosophy or a goal or whatever you want to call it. And you can see my path has taken me from barbell stuff in college to NASM, which, I mean, I was wacky as they get back in the day, through a little bit of bodybuilding stuff and to the strongman. Like, but it all brought me back to the origin. I just had to find my way back there. So you have to give a little bit of introspection. I think people are just looking and seeing cool and hopping to it as opposed to looking at it from a different angle. Me and Josh Aiken often talk about this on, like, what's the next big thing in regards to that, the area that he's in a lot. But, like, I think we have all the tools that we need right now. Like, we've got great tools. Like, TRX, they covered a great, great gap in the industry. the kettlebell covered an awesome gap in industry. Josh the Sandbag is covering a gap in the industry. And there's a few others in there, but, like, you put those in together, and if you want to be a traditional, you add some barbell training, awesome. If you want some calisthenics, awesome. But those three other tools in the middle there, to me, they fill a lot of gaps from an accessibility standpoint. There's not going to be an awful lot of people that we're going to put go in that load, that linear load model with the barbell, but maybe we can do some things body position-wise with the kettlebell or the sandbag that can get them there. A lot of people that we work with, or at least I work with, aren't going to get to a good pure pull-up or multiple reps of pull-ups, and that TRX covers some ground there. So I think we've got more things there. I'm just not sure people are dialed in on why, and maybe that's just the pursuit of fitness. That's what I love. I work with quite a few endurance-type people. I love for people to take what they're doing and go test it outside, whatever that may be. If it's a grandparent playing with their grandchildren for multiple hours, awesome. If you're doing an Ironman, awesome. If you're going to do, you know, Leadville, whatever it may be, like, whatever it is, like, I love for people to test it. I'm a big test performer. So I'm a performance side guy, and that's why it's probably a little bit easier for me to focus in on it. Most people who come into the fitness side, at least in where I'm experienced, looking for a little bit of body composition change, and there's a lot more variables to that than just the performance side. But the performance side, we can always have a kind of assess, reassess kind of standpoint. That's kind of my favorite thing about it. So I think they just need to be a little more intentional on what they're there for. I mean, if it's body composition, then you need to be rock solid on your nutrition. Like, that's probably A1A. If you're performance side and you're looking to clean up some stuff, then, you know, if you're a triathlete or a swimmer or a runner, like, there's some things you can do there for sure.
Yeah, good stuff, Troy. I mean, that's, you know, that's really valuable. You know, I agree with you, man. You know, at least in terms of, you know, the World Wide Web, it does take a lot of hits by so many folks, especially in the industry. And, you know, I've been in that line sometimes. That, you know, I think we live in an information age, and there's so much stuff out there. I think the problem for the client or consumer or athlete out there that wants to do the right thing is they just, you know, it's an overload of information. And I think it's human nature sometimes to go to things which are much more complex in nature than we probably ought to. You know, I use the analogy all the time that you wouldn't get shoveled into calculus class if you haven't, you know, at least mastered basic algebra.
Right.
And I know for so many athletes that, you know, that we see, there's some, in many cases, some pretty major asymmetry, not good basic, good, you know, glute or hip strength. They lack core stability, yet at the same time, they're trying to pick up something really heavy and throw it across the room. And so that, you know, becomes a challenge. You know, you mentioned, you know, optimizing body comp or losing body fat. And, and obviously nutrition is A1A, as you described. What's the single thing that you've learned from most athletes you work with that folks are missing? What's the biggest single thing that you can think of right now that folks who are trying to get leaner
are missing? I'll give you a couple things on that. I think any time that I've personally done real awesome or had clients that do real awesome on it, like, sleep's massive. And it's accessible. Like, I always kind of try it. When I look at nutrition side of things, like, there's a lot of deep stuff involved with nutrition, right? Not just from the biochemistry stuff and timing and macros, but, like, the psychology of it, right? And so I try to look through things through the lens of accessibility. Like, if I ask this person to do this, is it likely that they can do this or will be willing to do this? And sleep's like one of those no-brainers. Now, sometimes people get this thing wrapped around their head that, well, I'm an adult. You can't tell me when to sleep. Well, if you want to lose fat, like, you kind of have to sleep. I think it repairs a lot of things. I think it allows a lot of things to happen. For somebody just getting started, and I know this can be a slippery slope for some, is to track it to some degree, to figure out some tracking mechanism. We have more tracking tools available now than ever, but to kind of give yourself a base knowledge. And it's not from a tracking of, like, oh, I went you know, 2 grams over on this or that? Is it from a give yourself a base knowledge that, that you know, this banana 30 grams of the carbohydrate, or, you know, 4 ounces of chicken is roughly 30 or 40 grams of protein? I, to give yourself a base knowledge that you don't have to be dependent on that to have a little, to be a little bit more independent. And then to follow a plan. Man, any time that we've done really awesome as a group, and I like this, I kind of test it as a group. I like to take people through things. We just took some people through. It sounds cliche. It sounds faddish, but we just did one of the paleo crews of Diane Sanfilippo, I think is her name, her sugar detox. And like, honestly, I've never had across the board anything work better than her simple program. And to really boil it down, there's three levels of it, but the best components of it is basically good clean eating. It's fruits and nuts and vegetables, and really lesser on the fruits, to be honest, because they're really pushing hard on that. And then some good proteins and fats. Like I think oftentimes the structure, whatever it may be, helps us kind of follow through and just committing to that structure for a period of time and then leapfrogging that and maintenance in it. I think those are my main things is to, you got to sleep. You're not going to lose fat burning the candle at both ends. You've got to have some kind of base knowledge of what stuff is, because just the serving sizes and stuff like that's available to us now. I mean, chicken breasts are massive nowadays unless you're really being conscientious to that type of stuff. Not that most people are eating too much protein. And then having a plan. I think those are the best things. And then you just recalibrate, you know, run your plan for 30, 60, 90 days, see how it goes, track it. Tracking simple, pictures work great. Everybody loves to take selfies nowadays. Take some pictures on the way through it and recalibrate as necessary. I mean, if you want to get more complex than that, but that's about bare bones right there.
All right, man. Thanks. That's some great advice there. You know, the detox you're talking about really sounds very similar to the one that we do from Designs for Health. It's simple. You're basically taking the junk out of your diet, man, and yeah, coming back and just clean eating, you know, nuts, fruits, seeds, get rid of anything that's packaged or processed, hidden sugars all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So good, basic, sound advice. All right, before we wrap today, tell some of our listeners where they can find you online. I know you have a number of websites and programs that you're running, but how can folks find out more about you, man?
Well, the average person, if they want to see, I try to feed most of the stuff that I'm doing through my Facebook page. If they just want to see what the newest content is, I just pushed a new piece there today. It's Anderson Training Systems. If you just use your search icon on Facebook, that's a great leaping off point. If you want to get some kettlebell stuff, which I would be happy to get in your hands, love to get it in your hands, this is a place where you can kind of opt in to receive. It's kind of my labor of love right now, and it's just as much for me as it is for anybody that might be getting this information to use, which I'm more than happy to have them use. It's a little bit of a long URL, so I'll spell it out here in a second. Basically, what happens here is that I post, it's my video podcast, so you could probably search Kettlebell Wad on your iTunes icon or Stitcher if you're an Android type. But if you want to opt in and get this sent to you via email so you can kind of store it, archive it, if you will. I put 3 wads up. I'm about to go shoot this week's 3 wads. It's nice here in Arizona, contrary to what it is in many parts of the country, so I can go outside and shoot some. But you can go to alphakettlebell.leadpages.net and then /KBWAD, and that'll basically put you on the list, so these kettlebell wads will come out to you every time they go live. It's a great resource. We've got a bunch of backlog of it, and we try to do some of the dynamic stuff that we talked about earlier, just some of that subtle shift, and to give people kind of a notion. I know not everybody has a pile of kettlebells like I do, so I try to take that into account. So we look at some of the things like body position and different things like that, and just not diving down that low comparative. We do hard work. We do challenging work, but it doesn't always have to be moving up from a 24 to a 32 kilo to a 40 to a 48 and then beyond. Like, it's not a linear load-based kind of concept. So I think maybe some of your endurance and maybe speak to them and help them maybe with any kind of imbalances they might have in that lower half of their body for sure.
Sounds great, and I know that Alpha Kettlebell dot lead pages URL you just shared is also included in that blog post that we'll post as well on in
absolutely
the, in the,
it's on that recent Dragon Door.
Yeah, exactly. When I put this all together, so we'll include those links. Troy, it's been great having you on, man. You shared some really great sound. Foundational advice for our listeners. Really appreciate it. I look forward to, I'll tell you, man, you know, with the snow, with the pile of snow we got out here right now, man, I might be setting up shop right next door to you out there in Tempe, you know. And
there's a pretty endurance athlete community out here for sure, so I'm sure you would be welcomed.
Yeah, I for a number of years, I did a cycling camp. I haven't done it in a couple of years, but since things have changed a little bit on the business front, but did a cycling camp every year in Tucson, and I would always try to get up to Tempe for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that once you're in that circle around Phoenix, you know, there's just so much going on and a bunch of people to connect with, and it's a great spot, man. It's a great, great spot. So thanks again.
Massive down there in Tucson. That's a real cycling hotspot.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. Thanks again for coming on. And thanks to everybody out there, all our listeners, for joining us again in this edition of the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. We'll look forward to connecting with everybody soon. Troy, have a great day out there. Send some sunshine and heat this way, man.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Al.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.